Then we'll be taking a break. And then I have the laffy-toffy, as it's called in Finnish.
Laffy-toffy?
Kitty's just smiling.
It was not correct.
I don't know.
Sorry, but I don't know you guys have
the word. We leave it.
Tietokone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
What is it? Tietokone.
What's it?
Wow. Okay, so let's begin with a word of prayer, and then I'll just go through my notebook here, and mention some names, and then I stop at a couple of places, and share what they share. So Lord, we thank you today. We pray that you will bless this time. We pray these things in your name. Amen. When I arrived, and I will talk about that when I show the pictures, I actually spent a couple of days with Pastor Stambowski. But I'll get back to that. But when I arrived in Baltimore, they have started a master's program in the church there. And so I was sitting in on that. And different people shared. But I'll just go to the first message here. And Pastor Schaller was talking about warfare. And when we think of war, we of course think about something very bad or negative. But the war that we have been called to is a very good war for different reasons. First of all, Christ is our general, and he has given us the weapons, and we have great promises that as long as we adhere to his not adhere, but as long as we stay close to him, we are guaranteed to win. Then Pastor Schaller had another message. He was talking about that we are accountable. And sometimes we don't like that word. Because we think that we are independent. But then he talked about correction. That we also think about the word correction as something very negative. But it is not. Or it doesn't have to be. For example, when you're driving a car, you have all kinds of instruments. And they correct you. You're driving too fast. You have too little oil. Whatever it is, these instruments are there to correct you. And we are not angry with the car. why did that instrument or meter say something? We don't. We think that's normal. We like that even. That we know what we're doing. And in the same way, we need to be open for correction. It's a way of life. We need instruction. And I'm corrected all the time. When I play tennis, I'm corrected. When I play golf, and I do neither. But even when I take a poetry class, I'm corrected. I'm not doing that either. So, and when we talk to people, we don't talk to them based on what they want, but what they need. David was corrected by Nathan, who was a prophet, but he was also corrected by Abigail. And, you know, what if these two people would not have been in David's life? He would have been totally off. And in Galatians 6:1, it says that we go to people and we correct them in love. And then he compared the apostles Paul and Peter. Paul's ministry was he talked about his past. He talked about it in the sense that I used to be a Pharisee. I used to persecute Christians. But now I have found grace. But Peter, he never talked about his past. We don't know anything about his past. He was a fisherman. But he said that some of you know Nicky Cruz, who was in the movie with David Wilkerson, the Cross and the Switchblade. He talks about his past all the time. How God saved him from being in a gang, and so on and so forth. But for others, maybe we don't say one word. We meet somebody, they don't say a word. And we don't have to ask them. You know, whether we somehow use our past in our ministry, or if we don't say anything, whatever it is, it's good. And then, of course, he said in Galatians chapter 2, Paul was actually at one point rebuking Peter because of something he did, having the wrong idea about something. Well, not eating with the Gentiles, it was in this case. So, doctrine is important, but we should not let it kill the life that we have. What we look for in people's lives, or in our own life, is life, brokenness, tears, vision, excitement, and body life, not a perfect doctrine. Okay, let's see here. The theme of the conference was connecting heaven and earth. Pastor Björn Cederberg was there. Björn Cederberg, på svenska. How many know Pastor Björn? He's in Kuopio. And I remember not many years ago, you could basically count the people in his church on one hand. He mentioned that they have had, it was like 80 people or something in the church meeting recently. He's in a church, he's in a city with 105,500 people. Kuopio. And I was so blessed that somebody was interested in numbers. I was surprised that he actually had such a round figure. I was expecting even more detail. But basically what they have they're ministering to the students. So it's kind of like the same thing as what's happening in Vasa. So he said there are more Africans than Finns in the church. But he loves it. It's like God has just given him that thing now. And it was good. Then there was a pastor from Bombay, India. Pastor Carl, as you know, is very sick. He has some type of disease. I don't know what it's called. I don't know how it works. But I guess it has something to do with the nervous system or something. He has a hard time talking. But another pastor was there. And he was just sharing one thought. That, you know, the most precious thing we have on earth, or the most expensive, is the diamond. It's very costly. Once he visited a diamond mine, and he said there was nothing else but dust, dirt, and darkness there. He didn't see any shining diamonds, but they were there. And when you find them, you bring them out, and you polish them, and there they are. So they are hidden in that place. So he compared that to this world. It's like, you know, when we go out there, it looks like it's just a pile of dirt. But there are the believers, or those who will believe, and we reach them, and we bring them out, and we polish them, or God does the polishing, but we are the brush, if you will. And all of a sudden we have these diamonds. Then Pastor Shibeli shared something. He said that Satan was the first legalist. Because he constantly told Jesus to do something to prove that he was the one that he was. Three times in Matthew 4, he would say, do this and do that, if you are the Son of God. And legalism is saying the same thing to us. You need to do this and that. To prove or to show that you're a real believer. And he said that he produces religion which is always legalistic. And he said we have to guard ourselves because we can so easily be removed from the truth. And if I'm not a receiver of grace, it will not take long before I speak something else than, or something other than grace. So we want to have operational grace. I'm kind of flipping through the pages here. How many have been able to watch some sessions? A little bit here. Okay, so Pastor Love spoke about Christ in the storm in Matthew 14, and he said changes take place all the time. And we think that the Christian life is like being on a cruise. But I don't know if you have seen this program. It's called Deadliest Catch. It's fishers in Alaska. And it's always stormy. And they're always there, you know, like people are falling overboard, you know. And really rough life. And he said, that's what the Christian life is like. Not a, you know, basking in the sun on a cruise ship. But Christ does his best work in the storm. And David experienced this when he was in the cave. He was fleeing from Saul. And he was doubting even if he was going to survive. So we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Otherwise these storms will finish us. And he says, sometimes we say, I'm finished. But he said, that's wrong. It is finished. I am not finished. It is finished. Yes. So the only choice we can make in the storm is to choose Jesus. All right. There was a golf tournament. It's been a tradition. It's also an outreach. So there are some, you know, businessmen that are maybe not necessarily part of our ministry. They come there and play golf. And then at the lunch afterwards, like hundreds of missionaries from all over the world. And they're like, where are we? You know, like, we thought we were coming here to play golf. So, but they do it in a very creative way. But he was just saying, Pastor Shallow was just saying one thing. Actually, I rode with him in the car there. So after, you know, when we were heading out to go there, he leans over to me and says, what should I speak about? And then we kind of discussed it a little bit, you know. And he had a great message. So I told him afterwards, what would your messages be like if you did prepare? And he said, probably it would be a catastrophe. But it's just so amazing, you know, how that you know, he's constantly just with people, and the messages are really born in that environment. But he said one thing that I thought was funny. Scientists are very excited right now about a moon or one of Jupiter's moons, because they think that there might be water there, and they are spending billions and billions and billions of dollars and euros and pounds and whatever it is to find out if there is water on one of the moons of Jupiter. But he said, do we know how to find water on Earth? Speaking about the Word of God, which is the living water. I can try to go to that moon and say, yeah, maybe there is water. Maybe this is the answer. That we are actually, you know, we came from, you know, wherever. But it said, why don't we try to find water on Earth? The living water. So we can walk on the moon, but oftentimes we don't know how to walk on the Earth. of course, physically in the first case and spiritually in the other case. Then he had a message about Samson. And he actually, I don't know if any of you saw that, but he actually had a jawbone with him. Like from a donkey. You know, he had the beast. I don't know where he got it from, but he had it as an illustration. And he said that with this jawbone, he'd killed 1,000 Philistines. But then he was thirsty. And he cried out to God. And water came out of that jawbone. And, you know, it's like, how can that be? And he said, like, well, how can we explain that? We cannot. How can we explain that Jesus actually was resurrected from the dead? And how can we explain how God intervenes in our lives? We cannot. It sounds crazy to us. A jawbone. But, you know, in the same way that God provides for us, in a very strange and sometimes humorous way. We had a number of pastors' meetings. Pastor Fixier from Paris was there. And spoke in French. And I tell you, that man always has content. Good word from him. And he was translated by another Frenchman. So one spoke French, and one spoke English with a strong French accent. And needless to say, I was very amused. Nevertheless, it was awesome. And he was talking about the faithfulness of God. And I'm just giving you the little highlights here, obviously. But he said that, you know, when we have rain, we have a rainbow. And it's a promise that we will never be judged again through a flood. And in the same way, we have Christ's work on the cross. So whenever we see Christ on the cross, we know that there will be no judgment for us. That is a sign. So the world has a sign that it will not be judged by water. But we have a sign that we will never be judged for our sins, because they were judged in Him. So I thought that was a wonderful thought. Pastor Shibeli spoke from Revelation 1, verses 9 to 10, and he said, Baltimore is a great place. You know, sometimes people have the same attitude about Baltimore that people have to Stockholm. Oh, it's a bad place. It's too hot in the summer. Too cold in the winter. Too much crime. Too much this, too much that. But he said it's a great place. And I want to grow old here. And then he said this. There are many people here who can push me around with a wheelchair. Because I have pushed so many people around here. Which means, of course, that you give people a hard time. So now those whom he has pushed around they will push him away. Little play on words. But he met a man, and he witnessed to him. This is just one of many Pachivali stories. He witnessed to him, and he said, I have two problems. One is alcohol, beer, or alcohol. And the other one is pot, you know, like brush. And then Pachivali said, it's not a problem. And he took the joint out of his mouth and put it in the beer can. He said, now what's your excuse? Your problems are dealt with. So, I don't know, it's a miracle that the guy is alive. but he was, you know, of course he says these things jokingly. And he does it in love, and we know that. But his message was really called help. He said, we mess up our lives so badly. And then he said, help! Help! And God is there to rescue us. Pastor Satellite shared. He's a Chinese pastor. And he spoke Chinese. And Kiko was translating. Kiko is from Finland. It was a wonderful. She did a great job translating. She's Finnish, but she translated from Chinese to English.
How do you know? Chinese.
Well, there were several people there that knew. I mean, I knew what. Well, I mean, if she picked up something else, but I mean, I understood the English. Yes, but he was so he's such a great sense of humor. He was joking all the time. He said, "Kiko, she's actually white on the outside, but she's yellow on the inside." Meaning that she's so Chinese in her thinking and culture or whatever. I'll get back to that in a moment here. Let me see. Then Pastor Schaller had a great message about idolatry. It's the work of the flesh. In Galatians 5:20. And we are to flee from idolatry in 1 Corinthians 10:14. Then he spoke about the five books in the Bible.
Five books,
yeah. Well, the wisdom books. And he said that each one has a mystery revealed. Job is the mystery of suffering. Psalms is the mystery of praise. Proverbs is the mystery of wisdom. And Ecclesiastes is the mystery of meaning. And Song of Solomon is the mystery of love. And all these things are mysteries. The world cannot understand what suffering is, and that it could ever have a purpose. And the world cannot really praise, because who are they going to give thanks to? Who are they going to praise when they see the sun come up? Hello. And then wisdom. Yes, there is knowledge. There is worldly wisdom. But the wisdom of God is a miracle. And then, of course, meaning. What is this life all about? And in Ecclesiastes, you know, it was spoken a lot about that. Okay, and then finally the mystery of love, which the world thinks it knows a lot about. But really don't know anything. Pastor Matti had a devotion every morning. He had a an art exhibition set up. He had the real paintings. But he also had, I think you call them prints. It's like a photo of the... Yeah. So he was selling them for those who could not afford it, their real painting. So he tried to hang out there and talk to people all the time. But in the morning, he had a devotion, and he had me there one time to share something. But one morning he shared from Philippians chapter 3. Verses 13 and 14, where it talks about forgetting those things that are behind and pressing toward the goal. And he also shared from Romans 11:29, where it says that the gifts and the calling of God is without repentance. It cannot change. And then he spoke about Kiko, actually, because he said, I was so blessed when I saw her up there translating from Chinese to English, because she came from the same small town which he came from, Sotkamo, and it was a great revival in that place. And it said it started with one girl who got saved. And they could really see a change in her life. And it made them hungry to follow God. And many young people got saved. And if we would give you a list, I can list some, but I mean, it's amazing how many people that came out of that place. And many of them have been key pioneer missionaries. But he said that this girl, after she had walked with the Lord, she stopped believing. She became an agnostic. And he had a walk with her in the this is northern Finland, in the cold winter, and there was snowing all the time. And she shared with him why she could no longer believe. And he said, I was so tempted to do the same thing. It's like a satanic attack. But then he said, I just said, no, I cannot miss my calling. And God had already spoken to them about the Soviet Union and that they were going to be go in there. And he doesn't know where this lady is today. But then he switched and told another story. Heidelberg in Germany. I visited there half a year ago. We have a little church, and it's made up, the core group there is made up by people from Baku that have moved to Germany. And he flew into Frankfurt, and he remembered that 40 years ago, a little over 40 years ago, when he was 16, he was there one summer and worked in a monastery. A man full of surprises. And he just decided to go there to see if it was still there. And to his surprise, he met one man who was there the same summer. And he was still there.
Mm.
He had stayed there for over 40 years.
Mm.
And he said, he used, this is the term he used, he said he was spiritually minded. So, it, you know, it wasn't just this, you know, I mean, he really loved the Lord. And then he asked him, like, okay, so what have you done? Well, I have not been in the same place for 40 years. And then the man said, why don't you come and share this with the whole community there? So he spoke to them, and they were quite amazed, and it was well received. And his point was this. Number one, we have a calling, and don't let it go for all the butter in Småland. No, wait a second. I'll smell it in Småland. You know, translated it's a Swedish expression.
Or the tea in China.
Yeah, or the tea in China. Oh, yeah, that would be a better. Yeah. And then the second point was that whatever that calling is, don't judge another person. He had been in all the world. But this other man had been in the same place for 40 years. And one is not right and one is not wrong. Pastor Steve DeVries shared. I don't know. Should I finish or how many?
No, go on.
I should. I didn't know if you were joking or not because you said yeah. You know. Okay. Pastor Steve DeVries. Some of you met him in Finland. He's been a missionary to Asia for over 20 years. And the last 12 or so, he's been in Korea. And he was sharing from Numbers 13, verses 25-31, about the spies coming back with a report. And because the theme, again, was connecting heaven with earth, or connecting heaven and earth. And he said, you know, many different people spoke about, you know, how to do that and so on. But he said some things about that too, but he said, we got to be careful how we use our tongue. Because the tongue will not connect heaven and earth. Well, it could. But it has the potential to connect hell with earth. And it's amazing to think what happened with these spies. I mean, everything was in place. But because these 10 men came back with a negative report and connected hell with earth, you know, the result was devastating. So he said that we need to speak words of faith. And when we do so, God writes a book of remembrance, I guess. I don't know, seriously, now should I?
One more?
Okay.
Are you tired? Come on.
Yeah. Well, I have also the pictures here, but okay, well, we're getting there. We're getting there, okay? Missions night.
I'll be sorry, it was funny.
Pastor Matti shared a story. He spoke from Colossians 1, 24-27. And verse 27 there talks about hope and glory. And he says, we need that. We need to see God. We need to experience the presence of God. And he shared another story.
Mm-hmm.
How he met a man in Stockholm. He was an American businessman. He lived in New York. And he said, if you come to New York, please come and visit me. So he was in Lenox. No, not Pastor Belli, Pastor Matthew.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they went to New York City to do evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
It was Pastor Matthew, Hanele, and Elena. And then, if you remember, was it Raymond? This guy? I know I met him here. Raymond.
Ray Eamon.
Ray Eamon. Okay, I said Raymond. Yeah, Ray Eamon. Yeah. He was also there. And for some reason, it got late, and I don't know if they missed the ride, but I don't know what it was, but they said, we need to find a place to stay. And Ray said, okay, let's go to the airport and sleep. I said, you can go to the airport. I have something else in mind. So he calls this businessman, because he had his car. And you can come, you know. So, but then he said, okay, but I have Elena and Hanele here also. So he brought them with him, and he sent Ray to the airport to sleep. But he showed up with these two girls. He got this really nice home. And the man opens, you know, okay. And he tried to explain, you know, they had plastic bags, and Elena had her violin, you know. Well, we were not really prepared for this, but come in. And I think they even had like a sleeping bag under their arm or something. So, you know, it was one thing after another. And the one phrase that came out of this man's mouth was like, I wasn't really prepared for this. But he, of course, could not go back on his promise. So they ended up staying there for the night. And then they were at the. They had even invited a professor from Estonia. Because he knew that Pastor Maki was Finnish and maybe he would find some connection with the Estonian professor. So now he's in this really nice home. Here's the businessman, here's the Estonian professor, and Hanele and Elu. And then he said, what am I going to say now? And then he said, okay, it's now or never. And he said, can I pray? Like for the food or for, you know. And he said it was like heaven just came down. And everything changed. It was the presence of God. And then they had an amazing time. So Elena was playing the violin. Hanele was doing the dishes in the kitchen. and they just had the best time. But then he said, in the Middle East, I don't know how he counted this. But it doesn't matter. But he said that there are over 400 million people. And he said, I can guarantee that not even half of them have ever experienced the presence of God. So we have a great challenge ahead of us. Okay, Hungarian connection. English connection. Pastor Graham King spoke from Ecclesiastes 6:12. It says, who knows what is in what is good for man? Who knows what is good for man? And he says, well, man doesn't, but the Holy Spirit does.
Yeah.
And the preacher with the Holy Spirit does. And the body of Christ indwelt by the Holy Spirit does. Ecclesiastes mentions 27 times under the sun. Speaks about the human earthly life. And it says, we can say that Ecclesiastes is the lowest book in the Bible. Because he speaks from a human perspective. And we could say that Ephesians is the highest book in the Bible. Because it describes in detail our position. So, very anointed message, I would say. Okay. Okay. Pastor Morrison, he's in Marlboro. He has gotten Parkinson's. You don't see it much, but he said that it helps him when he's sowing in his garden. You know, like the seeds. And he said it. He says he's thinking of becoming a Pentecostal. He was just joking, you know. And I love it. You know, he has such grace for this condition. But he spoke about a word, paratorio, in Greek, which means to inspect somebody closely,
scrutinize them.
And that's the word used for the Pharisees when they were dealing with Jesus. They observed him closely to find, you know, faults with him or in him, whatever. And he said, Satan does the same thing with us. And he must be very frustrated because there was only one Jesus back then. Now there are millions who has Jesus in dwelling them. But he said, I went to church for 18 years. But then he said, then I met the body. The body of Christ. And he says, I never refer to the church anymore, or, you know, I'm going to church. I always say I meet with the body. It was like a revelation of body life. Okay, I think that's it. And I think what we'll do now is that I'll just show you. We were thinking about maybe having it on here, but there were some technical issues. So what I'll do here is that...